Digital 410 Productions proudly presents the What's in Your Head podcast.
Digitized live from
your company name here.
Your studios in Cape Coral, Florida. It's the What's in Your Head podcast.
What's up, what's up, what's up, OG5? Welcome back to Season 6, Episode 3. It's been a long week, long weekend. And before we get the show started, Mike, the other day when we were like drinking beer at my dad's house, did you have a problem getting the tops off these Miller Lights?
A little bit.
I had a problem yesterday at the boat ramp, and then today I just cut the inside of my goddamn hands on these twist tops. I don't know what happened to these damn cans, but you would think these are like Natty Ices as horribly manufactured as these goddamn cans. Just more proof that people don't want to do their goddamn jobs anymore.
they make it real difficult to open those.
Simple at all, sir.
Why do they not want you to break into them in the store and drink them in your car on the way home? I mean, that's the excuse for like clamshell cases, right? Well, we got to cut down on shoplifting if clamshells are easy to. Well, why can't I open my can is fucking dented from having to squeeze it so hard. And the thing is like, is it me? Am I getting like arthritis? Am I developing old age that I can't even open up a fucking beer anymore?
Yes.
What's going on, Morgan Long?
That's why I have to stick to the cans, because those bubbles are too much for me to navigate.
Yeah, but these are like a little bigger. I think you get a little extra more. But it ain't worth it. I'm bleeding on my goddamn can. So what's going on, Mike?
I don't know. I mean, if you have to drink more out of one, then it makes it tougher to drink two.
If you have to drink more out of one, it makes it tougher to drink two, which would imply if you drink less out of one, it would be easier to drink two.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good logic.
So if the Florida legislator actually thought about that, then they would realize how dumb it is that 40-ounce bottles of beer are illegal in Florida, which is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard of.
That's one of the most irritating things I deal with. I miss being able to get 40s.
I mean, if Sublime came from Florida, it would be called 32 Ounces of Freedom. Just doesn't have the same ring to it.
Well, you know, I grew up on the West Coast, so, you know.
I'd like to see that study.
Have
you know, we've determined that it's the extra 7 ounces of beer that just causes people to get completely hostile. So if we illegal 40-ounce bottles and only allow 32-ounce bottles, it makes no sense. I don't get it. It's just one of these things, one of the few things about Florida that just makes no goddamn sense.
Well, like I said, if you drink a smaller one, it's easier to drink too.
Can we step into Bizarro universe real quick, Mike?
Don't we always?
You can't go a little louder on your microphone because like Morgan's just smothering you.
Hang on, let me see if I can go lower mine.
I'm trying not to clip.
Okay, you sound good. Okay, one thing Bizarro world. One thing we can all agree on is the left hates what? At the root.
Everything.
Everything.
Okay. True. What's the one thing that the left would really love to outlaw and get rid of because they think it's the source of all of our problems?
Guns.
Yes. I thought you were going to go Trump, but yes, the answer is guns. Now, they want us to get rid of guns. I think no guns should be allowed. Okay. Because after all, if people didn't have guns, you can enforce insane policies like Canada and Australia did during the lockdowns. Did you see the report that? Okay, I think this goes back to the Iraq War. Both of you guys served in the military. For the younger audience, those who don't recall, one of the problems we had with the Iraq War is, for whatever reason, our politicians thought it mandated that we were to read Miranda rights to prisoners of war who weren't American citizens. How do American Miranda rights apply to people that aren't American citizens? I got to read you your rights when I'm bringing you off the battlefield, even though you're not an American citizen.
Right.
Well, apparently illegal immigrants now have constitutional rights. And so illegal immigrants...
At least Second Amendment rights.
You know where I'm going with this. A judge just said that illegal immigrants now have access to firearms. And so in states that don't require concealed carry permits, they can concealed carry. But here's my problem with that. Here's what I don't get. And here's the breakdown. Yes. If you're legal... I'm just processing this because I'm coming up with this real time. You know, we don't do show prep here. So if you come here, you don't know anybody. Mm. And you can't get a gun off of a family member. Mm. If you go to the store or a gun show to buy a firearm, what's the one thing you have to produce?
ID.
A state I issued ID to get your background check.
Well, it depends on who you ask.
To get your background check. So, hypothetically, unless somehow these illegals find every willing participant who's just trying to offload their firearms through a straw sale, where are they going to acquire said? Well, I guess they could bring them over the border with them. I don't know. It's just confusing to me. It's funny to me that the group of people who want to outlaw guns but want to allow illegals in here are the same group that's allowing illegals to have access to firearms even though they don't have ID. And I think, with the exception of long guns, and regardless of what state you're in order to have a handgun, you got to be over 18 and have an ID, don't you?
I thought it was 21.
Yeah, it used to be 18. Yeah, no, you're right, 21. So you have to be 21 to have a handgun. You have to have an ID. So I don't know. The whole thing's just weird. Bizarre land.
Well, I actually have a different take on it.
Okay.
I actually think that in the long run, it's a good thing because inevitably they lent credence to the Second Amendment. Basically, they're saying that even though this guy is illegal, he has this right. Well, if, you know, because they'd all like to take the Second Amendment and use this toilet paper. It's like that meme where the superhero's got the two buttons to push.
Yeah.
And he's sweating.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, deny illegals, guts, or support the Second Amendment.
And I agree with you on principle. And I've said this before, you can't have it both ways. You can't. And one of the things I used to complain about was, when I worked at Stan Haney, they had a listener who called in all the time who wanted to, he was all about federalism and states' rights, but didn't like the fact that states were legalizing marijuana. It's like, well, you can't choose them both ways. What concerns me, and if this was 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I would be completely agreeing with you, but the fact that the majority of the people coming across the southern border are military age men with military haircuts, and then the Florida Fish and Wildlife just apprehended a boat full of immigrants with firearms and night vision.
And marijuana.
Lovely.
It's like, okay. So, but with that being said, we can have night vision too. So yes, you call me on my bullshit. You can't have it both ways. So it's all or nothing. So, but it is crazy the fact that it's just all happening right now. Just so much shit is going on. It's like, is this coincidental? I don't know.
I don't think so. I keep getting my tinfoil hat stolen. So,
well, good news for you. Tinfoil's cheap. You can get it at Dollar General real easily.
Yeah.
I watch this guy on YouTube. He flies around and he does reviews on airplanes. His name's Noel Phillips. And he literally flew to like Malaysia or somewhere because he found out he's such an aviation nerd that he found out that this one airline was flying this old Russian plane from like the 50s. And so he went on it. And then he found there's only two of these new Chinese made airliners that are flying outside of China, but they're flying on other countries' airlines because the American airlines have already outlawed them. And because they're direct ripoffs. What, China ripping off other people's shit? Yeah, they're like, I forget what, I'm not an aviation nerd, so I can't remember which two airline, like what two planes they're direct ripoffs of, but they look just like them. And I heard an interesting tin hat theory on Joe Rogan the other day. And, you know, the theory was, if we, not we as in us, but the people we're assuming is making these changes in the world, they're trying to bring up one government while they bring down the other. Guess who the other is? And so his theory was, is, well, as they're propping up this, when we bring down the other one, we have to start making transitions. So you got this China airplane manufacturer who's making direct ripoffs of Boeings and all these other planes. Well, in order to open up some market share for these planes, we're going to have to bring down another airline. And all of a sudden,
interesting,
all these news stories come out about Boeing, this parts flying off. And with the exception of the doors flying off, some of this stuff isn't new. You know, the panels and things like that, I guess, happen occasionally. But now they're just being inundated. And like, you're seeing all these shifts. And I'm not saying it's true, but he had this interesting theory about, as you're trying to bring up this economy and create a new leader in the world clubhouse, you got to knock the other one down a peg. And we already know what's going on with BRICS. Now Morgan Stanley's finally coming out saying, major warning about the American dollar and stocks starting to hypothetically get close to plummeting due to BRICS. And so on watcher.guru, U.S. Wealth Management, Morgan Stanley is issuing a major warning about the future of the United States dollar and stocks, much to the advantage of the BRICS bloc. According to the bank's chief investment officer, the structural forces weighing on the dollar are threatening to spread to U.S. Equalities in turn. Consider preparing for the U.S. dollar regime shift, cautioned CIO Lisa Charlotte. According to her, deteriorating relations with BRICS founder China, the end of yield curve management in Japan, and rising Bitcoin and commodity prices suggest that the U.S. dollar might be hitting its limit. While correlation is not causation, the correlation of the U.S. dollar strength and P/E ratios is worth monitoring. Knowing that the greenback's bull market cycle may be maturing. And this has been going on a while, and that's one of the things on the elusive episode that we didn't air. Mike and I were talking about BRICS and all the shit going on in the world that may be spelling bad things for us.
For sure.
But it's crazy. Like, and we're going to change the subject here in a minute, but somebody else pointed out something on TikTok, which I've noticed too because I've only seen it on TikTok. Fox News, none of the media, Facebook, you don't see it anywhere else. No one shows the French farmers and the Belgian farmers like having an uprising. Do you guys know anything about that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And where do you see that at? Only on TikTok.
Social media.
Yeah. Fox TikTok. News doesn't talk about it.
I don't do TikTok, so I've actually seen it on Facebook because I follow Jeremy Clarkson from Top Gear.
Okay.
And he's a farmer now. So he's actually like a hero to the French farmers because he's come out and said that, the government intrusion into their farming is totally unacceptable.
Well, one of the tinfoil hat theories before we get out of the bizarro world is people are saying that the French government, in an effort to save the planet and environmental laws, they're putting so many taxation and carbon credits and these different policies into the farming market that family-owned farming will be unprofitable and be unsustainable to the point that the only people who are going to be able to farm in France are these huge mega corporations, big farming. And actually more to the point that none of everybody's really going to be able to afford it. So farming will become nationalized by the French government, right? And so what did we learn in the big social experiment of the shutdown? what's the best way to get people to comply? Well, the tinfoil theory is this. The French government owns all the farms. They own all the food. You control the food. You control the people. And so the farmers are stepping up saying, hey, we're not going to let this happen. Not only are they like pouring manure on stuff and making a hell of a blue, they start putting up, building walls around some of the French political buildings and like block locking them in. But the thing I don't get about the Belgians, and I truly don't get this, the Belgians are starting tire fires. And I don't know why. I don't know if this is their way of saying, hey, if you guys think we're going to hurt the environment or just by farming, we're really going to fuck things up now. I think it kind of hurts their cause, starting these huge mounds of burning tire fire piles. But that's only going on in Belgium. I don't get that point there. But I don't know, man. I'm just looking around like, when's this shit going to hit the fan?
A lot of bullshit.
So before we leave Bizarro World, I've got one that like to talk about.
Sure.
So I got a question for you.
I may have an answer.
Why do you say cheese before somebody takes your picture?
I always thought the syllables made you smile. Cheese made you open your mouth and show your teeth.
That's exactly it. So I'm scrolling through social media the other day and I see this story and I swear I had to double check it because I thought it was Babylon Bee or the Inn or something. So PETA has come out and said that saying cheese is harmful or promotes harmed animals. Let's see. It's forced breeding and calf-cow separation. So by saying cheese when you get your picture taken, you're promoting animal cruelty.
You know what's cruel to dairy cows? Not milking them. It's very, very fucking bad.
But what? Back to your point about people harming their cause. I read and I'm like, how can anybody take them seriously? I mean, I love animals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think some of them make great pets, and other of them make great meals. And it's just, you know, but I read something like this and I'm like, how on earth can you take somebody seriously who drags their cause out to this ridiculousness? It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, if PETA had their way, no one would have pets. They think pets is slavery. But here's the problem.
Yeah, well,
here's the problem with people who live in a bubble. And I've admitted I kind of thought this way before I became an angler. And that is, oh, fishing's cruel. You're putting a hook in a fish's mouth until you actually realize that fish eat other fish and fish have pokey things on them. And every meal they have pokey things hit in their mouth. But more important to that, people anthropomorphize their animals. And it's like, I wonder how their opinions might change once a hardcore animal lover realizes that fish don't just eat other fish. They eat baby ducks. They eat fucking lizards. They eat anything with a heartbeat that they can fit in their gullet. And other animals do the same.
They'd eat you if they were big enough.
What was I watching? I was watching, Mike and I talked about this when it came out, the last Jurassic Park entry into the series. I took my daughter to see it. And it was kind of cool. It was kind of like Taken with dinosaurs. And I did think it was ironic that they wouldn't use guns in the movie on the dinosaurs because that'd be cruel, but they shot the humans. So the humans would shoot each other. It was like, they were like in some like Middle East bazaar, like instead of dog fighting, they were alligator. They're like dinosaur fighting. And then the dinosaur loving humans would go and rescue the dinosaurs. And they were shooting like the bad guys with real guns. But then when the dinosaurs were running through the city and eating people in real time, they were using tasers on them. Cause for some reason, a 223 round doesn't work on a velociraptor. I don't know. But what I'm getting to is at the very end of this happy-go-lucky movie, we're all living in harmony now, right? Cause we all accept the dinosaurs. And so they show like giraffes walking with the dinosaurs with the long necks, the brontosaurus, No, not the Brontosaurus. The I haven't been in fourth grade in a long time. I don't remember my dinosaurs.
Brachiosaurus.
Yeah, then they show the underwater dinosaur swimming with like the whales and shit. It's like, that's not how that would work. That they would all just be, obviously the herbivores wouldn't, but you would just have the meat eaters just coming and annihilating the giraffes. You know, you thought your lions were huge. No, like they wouldn't all just get along. It doesn't work that way. That's the Hollywood side of it. And so it's like,
oh no, but if it totally works that way, just ask any lefty.
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. But how are they going to, I can't wait until PETA starts fighting with, actually not even fighting with, there's going to be, the vegetarians going to have a hard awakening one day. And they're going to split off into the vegans versus the vegans who used to be vegans, but now have gone back to who are now eating genetically lab engineered food, because there's a new study showing that plants are alive and they communicate through the vine systems. And there's been proof showing that when giraffes eat leaves from a plant at the top, the plant can feel it and detect it, and it generates a chemical that makes the leaves taste like shit so that they move on to another tree, and that the surrounding trees of the same breed or same type of tree will actually produce that too, so that the giraffes won't eat the leaves because now it tastes like a chemical taste. And so if this is true,
what the fuck?
Yeah, I heard Joe Rogan was talking about it a few weeks back. There's this new science talking about the chemicals that plants can actually communicate with one another. I'm not saying it's true, but this is a working theory they have. If this is true, and the people like PETA who say, well, animals are living life forms with a conscious, it's immoral to eat them, and then a lot of vegetarians...
So is your salad, you fucks.
Well, that's what I'm getting to. If the vegetarians say, why can't... I'm a vegetarian because I don't want to take anything with a life and a conscious. Well, now we find out plants are the same way. Are they just going to eat like lab-created chemicals, compounds?
Probably.
But most of the compounds that we use in a lab come from natural resources such as plants and all that shit. And so then what? Just off yourself?
Soylent Green.
There you go. There's the ultimate answer.
Population control and saving the plants and animals.
Save us, Mike. Save our mind. Save our sanity. Take us out of bizarro world. Let's put a lock and key on that section of this podcast. You wanted to talk about some craziness and insanity that we did this weekend and other things, so please help us shift on with your dad's only hat, and let's leave bizarro world for this episode and get a little...
you know how we're supposed to go fishing in next month, right?
You say next month, but technically it's like a week and 2 days. Today's the 20th. We got 9 days until April.
Oh my god, whatever.
I just can't believe that it's spring break and like kids have what, 2 months of school left already? It's like, where the fuck did this year go?
Yep. Gone. But yeah, we're supposed to go to Okeechobee next month. Excuse me, a week and a few days from now.
Yes.
And I was talking to one of our other friends.
Mm-hmm.
And Apparently, they have a tournament that weekend. So every single hotel that we were looking into to go stay for a couple of nights is completely booked out. So now we don't know what we're going to do.
I could foresee you and I making that mistake because we don't look into shit. But this particular person you talk about researches like everything about everything. He plans his trip based on weather patterns, the cycle of the moon, spawn patterns, his wife's menstrual cycle, like everything's included. The fact that he overlooked the fact that they're having a bass fishing tournament, which, by the way, you want to talk about high pressured water.
Yeah.
Talking about, I mean, Lake O's big.
It's really not that big. I found out today that it's like 39 miles from top to bottom.
It's big on a kayak.
And like 20 something side to side.
Yeah.
Yeah, on a kayak that's big, but I mean, thinking about like when you look at it from the satellite view in space and you're like, "Whoa." that's a big ass lake, but in reality, it's really not that big.
It's bigger than anything I fished on growing up in Ohio. Lake is bigger than a Alum Creek or a Deer Creek or a Caesar Creek or a Wolf Creek.
Any other creeks you want to throw in
there? No, that covers my all of them. And ironically, they're all fucking lakes. None of them are creeks.
Yo, what are you doing?
So
it's Bailey go bananas.
Are we going to push it out further or an extra week?
I don't know. We're going to have to finger that out because I don't know. You know how he is because he's like, oh, well, I'll just go during the week.
So fuck us. He's going to
must be fucking nice. You don't have to fucking, you know, wait till the weekend to do shit.
Yeah, because I think I can't. We're looking at what, the 19th through the 21st?
Yeah.
I can't do the 27th. I got a 15K I signed up for already. I've already paid for that entry fee.
15K?
Yeah, I'm doing a 15K trail run.
What is that in miles, buddy?
That's 9 miles. Ain't too bad. It's to raise money for the Gator Swamp Camp out by Babcock. It's a Christian-based summer camp for kids.
I didn't know you were all about that Jesus life.
I'm not. I'm all about trying to find new things to run.
All about that running life.
Yep.
What happened? I thought you... Okay.
Go ahead.
You used to be a savage runner.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to that?
So...
I know you got hurt.
Yeah. They have one this coming weekend, which clearly I haven't trained for. I've done it 4 times. I'm over let's do it just to do it and have fun. Yeah. The last time I did it, I really trained and I was going for 100% completion on the obstacles in the open wave. And if I could achieve that, then I was going to sign up for age group. But the difference between open wave and age group is if you can't pass an obstacle, you're DNF, do not finish. And so I didn't want to sign up for age group and risk a DNF until I could get 100% completion. And the four open waves I did, I think I was able to complete 20 out of 24. But the last one I did, I didn't train as hard as I needed to, and my weight wasn't quite there, and I just couldn't get it. And then I got hurt and gained a lot of my weight back. Yeah. And so I'm minimal my weight loss. They have one in November, but I can't sign up for it yet because I've been tasked with taking over co-organizer of the Von Kessinger Express World War II event in Paris at the train museum. So I'm going to be heading that up, and it's every year in November. So I don't know what week in that it's going to be yet. But short answer is if I can get my weight back down and get my strength back up, because I don't go to the gym right now, so I need to start going to the gym and all that stuff. So maybe in 2025, my goal for 2024 is I'm going to do this 15K, and then I still want to do my Great Cape Escape before the summertime. Morgan, you don't know about this. Because I don't think I talked about it on the last episode. My goal is I'm going to run from the Publix on the corner of Kismet, North Fort Myers, to Fort Myers Beach, which is 24 miles. And depending on how I feel, if I got wild hair at my ass, I might turn around and come back. Dude, are you seriously chewing on my damn camera?
Yo, back off.
And so maybe in 2025 I can get back into the OCR. But I'm just focusing on running right now and trying to get my weight back down. And plus, this 15K is a trail run. So the Savage Races are 7 miles in the woods. And so this will be 9 miles in the woods. So it'll kind of help get me there. But yeah.
Gotcha.
And so, yep. So that's that.
We'll keep on training, buddy.
Yep. Fishing update.
Uh-oh.
Fishing has been really shitty in Florida this year.
Not according to you, Mr. 2.5-pounder.
Oh, fucking spoiler alert. Anyhow, up until yesterday, with the weather being as sporadic as it is, where it's 40 degrees one night, 80 degrees in the day, and then 50, and then 60, the water temperature's been crazy. The fish haven't been biting. I've been fishing. I haven't put out a single fishing video on YouTube because I've caught 4 dinks all fucking year, and like no one wants to watch that. And like some days I go out and don't even catch anything. And so last night, Carrie and I went back out. First time she's been out in, I think, a month. I caught a dink, which was fish number 6 for the year. And then she caught a dink. And then I threw a jerk bait and I pulled in a 2.74 pound bass. Not anything huge, but considering I've been catching dinks all year, it's a good start. Caught that, was excited about it. An hour later, she pulls in a big fish. It was 2.80, so she beat me by like 4 ounces. and then so she caught 2, and then I ended the night with a total of I caught 2 more dinks. But spawn season's just about over, and backside of Zurich, we caught 2 nice fish in one night. So hopefully that's a sign of things to come. Plus, now that it don't get dark till 8 o'clock, we can actually go on weekdays instead of waiting till weekends. The cool thing is, though, is back in November on that same body of waters where I caught those 4 juvenile peacock. We've had a few months now, so hopefully the juveniles are getting bigger, and maybe they're spawning now, too. And so hopefully the population of peacock bass will be growing in that body, too. So excited for that. So hopefully...
I've been hearing good things.
Yeah. Speaking of bad things, did you hear about the shooting in Cape Coral on Sunday?
Huh?
Did you hear about the shooting in Cape Coral on Sunday?
Shooting?
Yeah.
No.
This is from...
No, I wasn't there. Never mind.
Newspress.com. Shooting in Cape Coral claims the life of 15-year-old Kyla Rinken Miller. A 15-year-old girl was shot and killed while walking with 2 friends in Cape Coral Sunday night. Cape Coral police said that, Cape Coral Police Chief Anthony Sizemore said during the news conference on Monday, according to Sizemore, one of the teens told police that they were walking to McDonald's on Del Prado Boulevard South after leaving Coral Wood 10 movie theater when a car pulled up and blinded them with the vehicle's lights. Several unknown suspects reportedly exited the vehicle and attempted to rob the 3 girls while one of the suspects fired a gun, shooting the victim, later identified as the person we said prior, Kyla Rinken Miller, shot her in the chest. The suspect reportedly got back in the car and fled south on 16th Place. Police responded around 9:30 p.m. to the 2000 block of Southeast 16th Street and rendered aid to Rinken Miller, who later died at the hospital. On Wednesday, March 20th, i.e. today, Cape Coral police announced that Thomas Roy Stein, 16 years old, of North Fort Myers, was arrested and charged as a principal to the murder while engaged in a robbery and the homicide of Rinken Miller. Authorities do not believe the shooting was a random act of violence. So that's very vague. They said that it was a attempt of robbery, but not a random act of violence. Does that mean there was a previous, I don't want to say relationship, but commonality between these two? These two know each other?
Encounter. Sounds like it.
And what I saw on the news tonight, the car that he was driving was a rental car that his mom had rented. I don't know if she wrecked her car or something. Her car's in the shop. So the little bastard stole her rental car. I don't know where they got the firearm yet. Don't know if he stole that from the parents, if that was stolen or what. But yeah, 16 years old.
Outstanding.
In Cape Coral and just fucking shoot somebody. I hope they try him as an adult.
They probably will.
Well, here's my question, though. They said in the story that there were several people in that car. We know in Florida, if you are a participant in a crime that results in the murder, you too can get charged with manslaughter, even though you didn't pull the trigger. So it'll be interesting to see if the other 2 Utes get brought up on charges as well.
The Utes.
What is a Ute?
Did you say Ute?
Yes, sir, a Ute. So before the show tonight, I was watching YouTube, as I do, and I watched this chick who rides a motorcycle all around the world called Itchy Boots. At least that's her YouTube channel.
Itchy Boots.
Yeah, I guess I mean, and she's always on the move. She got itchy boots. But she she left her motorcycle in Zimbabwe or some shit, and she was flying down to, what's that movie with the lemurs?
Madagascar?
Thank you. She flew into Madagascar But she had a layover in... Oh, damn it, Don. You suck. I'm, like, completely going blank. Oh, crap. This is very important to my story.
Damn it, Don. You suck.
It'll come to me in, like, 20 minutes. shit. Anyhow. Damn it. I'll think of it here in a moment. Damn it. Good thing we're not live. See, I can just edit this crap out later. I'm going to YouTube right now. Look. And it's a very cool thing that she discovered accidentally. Ethiopia. Okay. So she flew into Ethiopia via Ethiopian Airlines on her way to Madagascar, but she didn't have a visa for Ethiopia. And she had a 12-hour layover, right? And so her plan was to just rack out on the floor of the Ethiopian airport until she can make her connecting flight to Madagascar. So she gets on. A lot of these countries, they have the old school tarmacs where you get off the plane, walk across the tarmac, get on a bus, and they'll take you into the airport or what have you. So she gets on the bus, and the bus stops at a point, and the lady comes on and calls out her name, and she's like, huh? Apparently, this is the coolest shit ever. Never happened here because, well, we're greedy fucks. American Airlines and Delta and United would never do this. We just lost Morgan. Ethiopian Airlines has a standing policy that if you have a layover longer than 8 hours, they put you up for free in a hotel room and provide you breakfast and dinner. And it wasn't like some shitty hole in the wall. It was like almost looked like a casino style hotel. It's like, how fucking cool is that?
That's awesome.
Yeah. Could you imagine if they did that in here in the United States? Like, oh, you got a 12-hour layover. Come on down to the Hard Rock Cafe.
Wouldn't happen.
Yeah. Insane. So, Morgan, that's awesome. So what she discovered was that she was on the bus because she had this 12-hour layover, and they called her name. And the Ethiopian Airlines standing policy is if you have a longer than 8-hour layover, they give you a free hotel room with food and breakfast. And it wasn't like some shitty motel. It would look like a casino-style place. And she couldn't leave the grounds of the motel because she didn't have a visa. But at beats crawling up on the corner of an airport floor somewhere, it's like, wow. I could never imagine them doing that here. I was like, how fucking cool is that? Mm-mm. And I doubt it was like a super expensive airline ticket. I don't think
other parts of the world are actually nice.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, because she was going to Madagascar and she's going to be riding a motorcycle she's renting, she had a suitcase with all her video equipment in it, and then another small suitcase with her clothes. And so she wore her motocross uniform on the plane because she couldn't fit in the back. So she got the big-ass boots on, the neck brace, and all that stuff. And so she's sitting on this long-ass airline, and then she's on the bus wearing it. It looked like she just got out of a motocross race, and she was expecting to sleep in the shit in the hotel in the airport, and they put her up in a hotel room. It's like, how fucking cool is that? And they didn't do it because they knew she was a YouTuber. It was just their standing policy. Anything over 8 hours, you get a free hotel room. That kind of makes the airline not schedule a lot of 9 hour layovers. So I'd go a long way here. You know, here we got Southwest coming up with excuses not to serve drinks on 30-minute flights from California to Vegas. Oh, it's too bumpy. We're not going to serve drinks. No, it turns out your stewardesses are lazy and they don't want to work on a half-hour flight. But yeah, who knows? It's always better things other places.
Mm-hmm. We get the shaft around here.
Yep. Not even good, the good parts. So what do you got on your list, Mike? What do you got on your list, oh shit?
Oh shit?
Yeah, what do you have on your list of shit that's stuck in your craw? Shit.
It wasn't a whole lot. It was mainly the fishing stuff.
I have a feeling that whole trip's just going to blow up in our face.
It is.
Yeah. Kind of like your bachelor party weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
So me, Mike, and Ron are huge fishermen. We all went to Lake O last year, and that's when I caught my 8 3/4-pound bass. Well, Mike,
was that last year?
Year before. It's been 2 years now.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah, 2022. And so Ron's planning a bachelor party weekend for Mike, and he's like, well, let's go fish. And Mike's like, well, I got three other people in my wedding party who don't give two shits that a fuck about fishing. So so Ron goes and plans this big weekend in Tampa, not related to fishing. Day comes of the trip, and the other three dudes can't go for whatever reason. And so then it's me, Mike, and Ron in Tampa, and somehow we end up down at the Tampa Skyway Pier trying to fish, but we don't have our gear and stuff. And so we're all looking at each other like, we could have just went to Lake Okeechobee, but instead we got this Airbnb in downtown Tampa that we planned for three or four other cats. We couldn't end up making it. And so it just kind of turned into a last-minute half-ass fishing trip. We didn't catch.
Yeah, we got an Airbnb for six guys, and three of us went.
Yeah.
It was comfy. At least we all had our own rooms.
Yeah, but the division of financial breakdown gets promptly adjusted. Yeah, especially for poor Ron. But yeah, I think we lost Morgan again. I think his signal's breaking up on us.
I gotcha.
Yep. Oh, here's a cool story. We all know what the we all know Cannonball Run was, right?
Oh yeah.
And then what was the other one? The one that the guy from Gas Monkey won the you had the Cannonball Run, and then you had the
Gumball.
Are you guys familiar with the Bandit Run, otherwise known as the Southern Classic?
No.
I saw this on TikTok and I looked it up. Let me see if I can find the actual... This is the itinerary. Let me see if I can find the Bandit Run by RAMC. The Bandit Run is a yearly event started by David Hall of Restore a Muscle Car and David Hersey in 2007. The first year was a celebration of the 30th anniversary of the movie Smokey and the Bandit. The 2000 run reenacted the drive from Texarkana to Atlanta, Georgia. The mission of the Bandit Run is to get classic cars out of their garage and onto the road. All participants are welcome, and not just owners of Trans Ams or muscle cars. Restore a Muscle Car works with the Bandit Run group to put a new route together each year, and they hope that it'll get other people / car involved and get to see different parts of the country as well. The yearly event has grown into a large, fun road trip that allows us to meet new friends and experience the new sights and experiences. Basically, all the cars have to be from the era of Smokey and the Bandit. And so that starts in Texarkana, and everybody puts like a case of Coors in their car. And it's the first one that gets to Atlanta, much like Gumball or Cannonball, but they're going from Texarkana, Texas to Atlanta, Georgia in 1970s. You could have a Cadillac, you could have a Porsche, you could have a Bonneville. It's just a bunch of old late 70s cars, and they're got their CB radios, and they're just heading on down. It looks so goddamn fun. I haven't scoured yet. I'm hoping to see a bunch of videos on YouTube. Let's see the 2024 itinerary. Not a whole lot of stuff there. Just takes you to their Facebook page. But yeah, when I saw the video, you're seeing these old Cadillacs and just all these big old boats. And it's like, it's so cool to think that there's still people still actively doing this stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be a blast.
Yeah. Go find like an old Bonneville or something in a junkyard and just put a rebuilt V8 into it and just try to strip it down as much as you can to lighten it up. And just hope you don't end up getting pulled over. The Bandit Run.
Well, I'm all about clapped out vehicles, so that's right up my alley.
It'll be interesting to see how far that thing carries over Because people are going to start teaching our kids how to drive sticks in order to make the, unless I guess you got an automatic Bonneville or something. But I don't know. It's just, it's crazy to think that we're like the last generation who grew up where affordable cars and cheap cars all had five speeds in them. And now it's like, oh, you want a five speed transmission? That'll be an extra 10 grand. It's like, what? I think, let's see, the first car I had was a Chevy S10. That was standard. Then my 1988 Suzuki Somersault. I wish I had that. That'd be fun down here. That was a standard. Then my Ford Escort was a standard. Then when I moved down here, I sold it, and my dad gave, I bought my dad's 1997 Pontiac Firebird off of him, but that was an automatic because that was a gift from my stepmom when I was in high school, and she couldn't drive a standard. When that broke down, I went to my Chevy Colorado, which was a five-speed. That thing was a piece of shit. I was driving that when I worked at Stan Haney. And then that was the reason I went to Toyota. And then my, when I bought my 15 Tacoma, that's when they all made the transition. My Tacoma, both my Tacos and my Tundra all, are all, you know, they all had a sport shift on them. But they're all automatics. So, yeah, basically my four first cars were three S10, Escort, Somersault, and yeah, I had four standards, and Carrie had a Mustang. That was a standard. Our 2005 Volkswagen Jetta was a standard, and then the 13 and the 18 were both automatics. I kind of miss it, especially like when I lived in Long Beach. I had my that little Escort, and I remember I would drive that thing all over L.A. And one time I was on the 405, and this guy in big old Escalade almost ran me over. So I had to shove it in the third gear and floor it, and I burnt the clutch plate up. And I remember my boss's friend owned a mechanic shop, and I took it to him, and he called me pissed. He's like, "Where the fuck is this car from? Ohio? Why? Because every goddamn bolt in the bottom of it's rusted out." I was like, "Yeah, that's Ohio. I haven't had to buy an exhaust pipe since I left Ohio in 2001." That was like a regular thing with the salt. Your catalytic converters always fell off and your mufflers did. I don't know if they've changed that. I don't know if they're making them out of more rust-proof materials now. But like,
I don't think so.
70s, 80s.
Well, now they just fall off with meth heads.
You I was going to say, yeah, now they're stolen before they get that old. Mike, oh, you were born down here, but you spent time elsewhere, right?
Yeah.
Morgan, where were you brought up?
Portland, Oregon.
Is it me, or does it seem like down here the only time you see cars from like the 90s and early 2000s that are always snowbirds? Like residents mm-hmm. of Florida, we don't drive beat up shitty cars. That, I mean, our idea of a shitty car is a Kia. I mean, I saw a 1999 Chevy Blazer the other day from like Ohio or Indiana. I was like, that tracks. And I don't think it's an income thing so much. I just don't think clapped out piece of shit cars like that survive in the middle of August driving in traffic down here. They'll overheat and just die.
Yeah, they absolutely don't. And with the increase in fiberglass and plastic that they make body panels out of, it just doesn't last down here. I remember when I first started coming here in the 90s, the 70s Cadillacs were, you know, still a common thing. And every one of them had the fiberglass piece in between the taillight and the rear fender.
Yep. Missing. I know exactly missing. What you're talking about.
So, you know, I finally asked somebody about it. Why is every one of these cars like this? And it's just because the sun's so brutal. I mean, my first truck when I was, I was 17 when I got my first truck, and it was a 1971, so it was as old as I am. And it had the original set of tires and the original battery, so it was, you know, 16, 17 years old.
Let's pause for a second for the younger audience. You buy a truck nowadays, they all come with 17, 18, 19-inch rims on them because it looks better. Back in 2001, you were a rich basketball player if you had 20-inch rims. or 22-inch rims on your truck to the point that they were called dubs. He's got dubs or Sprewells, because Sprewell is the first person to have the spinners. Trucks all the way up until probably 2004, 2005 came factory with 13-inch rims on them. You see a truck with 13-inch rims on it now, it looks dumb as shit.
Yeah.
I mean, even tacos come with 17-inch rims on them now.
I don't know. The trucks I used to drive all had 22.5-inch rims on them, but they also had 18-speed transmissions, so...
Well, semi-trucks don't count there, Clancy. I'm so poor that when I saw people driving dualies, I'm like, that's just two extra fucking tires you got to buy there, fella.
Yeah, so I drive a clapped-out 87 F-250 diesel. But I had to go to Alabama and buy it because you just can't find old vehicles down here. And I prefer the old ones.
That reminds me. I did a stitch on TikTok. Guy was talking about how you don't see old cars anymore. And I said, I reminded him. And it's turned into a whole big debate. Cash for clunkers. That's why a lot of that shit don't exist anymore. Even if That's they weren't clunkers. True. Even because I have a friend who owns a mechanic shop. Even if they weren't clunkers. People would take them down to him. He would have his guys go in the back, drain the oil out of them, and just let them run. They'd break down, and they would give them the paper to file to get the tax. You know, because I had somebody, well, the government wasn't paying people for their cars. They were giving them tax breaks to get a new. Same fucking thing, fella. Not only are they getting tax breaks, but when that shit happened, the dealers were. It was almost like redlining for the housing market before 2008, like anybody could get a house. During that period of time, it didn't matter what your credit was. They went out of their way to help people get into new cars once they got that rebate from the government. So the Cash for Clunkers program took a lot of cars. And you know what we're seeing that kind of biting people in the ass now? Kids. You hear jaded people say, oh, kids nowadays, they don't want to drive. They just want to sit around. It's because of the internet. No, it's not. Yeah, it is. It's because of the internet. No. No, it's not. You know why kids don't drive nowadays?
Because there's nothing to drive.
It's fucking unaffordable. My oldest daughter's 23 now. When she graduated high school and came down here, her grandfather shipped down here a 20-year-old Sebring. Paid off. Sebring. She moved down here. I taught her to drive. She got her license. You know how much the insurance company wanted for liability? And this was 6-7 years ago. This is before Biden destroyed the economy. This is before inflation. This was during Trump's administration when gas was low. You know what they wanted for liability insurance in the state of Florida on a 20-year-old Sebring? Take a guess, either one of you.
$300 a month.
Mike?
I was going to say $200, $250.
$550.
Holy shit.
Because she was an unexperienced driver who just got a license at the age of 18. So it wasn't even 16. She was an illegal adult with a 20-year-old car that had no banknote on it. It was paid off. It was bought in an auction. $550. Fast forward to today. You got inflation. Ended up biting me in the ass because we sold that car because it was a piece of shit. I took her to Nissan, got her a used Ford. She had it 30 days, got in a car accident on my insurance because it was cheaper to put it on my insurance, and then it went up. But now, okay, you're a kid. You have to go out and damn near buy a new car or a car that's from 2010 and up at a buy here, pay here lot. You're going to probably pay $300 a month if you're lucky, maybe $250 at a buy here, pay here lot. But you still got that $400 or $500 a month insurance bill, and then you got gas that's fucking $399 a gallon. So by the time you add all that shit up, you don't have the money to fucking do anything. The days of cruising are gone. You're not going to have $20 to go to the movie theater. Fucking a combo meal at goddamn McDonald's costs you $18. And so it's like no one can afford to fucking drive anymore. It's unaffordable. So yeah, it makes a lot more sense to pay $15 to hop on an Uber and go to your friend's house. It's literally unaffordable for kids to drive. It's insane how expensive the shit is. But, you know, a lot of the times people aren't, we as adults, we have a tendency to think back to the way things were when we were kids.
And so, I remember back in my day.
Back in my day. Perfect example. Saw this therapist talking about this trend that she's concerned with. It shows the decline of maturity and how we're no longer progressing because 18 to 30-year-olds are living at home with their parents because they don't want to move out. Shirley, whatever your name is, you're thinking with your old mind. I moved out in 1997 when I graduated high school. I think rent at the time in Columbus, Ohio, for a townhouse, an apartment, not the greatest neighborhood, but $250, $300 a month. Granted, minimum wage was $715, $725. And you would still get two or three guys to split that $300 rent. My buddy Frog had a townhouse. Him and AJ got it. I think their rent was like $300 a month. Before they knew it, they had four people living in a two-bedroom townhouse. Bill was sleeping in the utility room on the floor just because he didn't want to be at his parents' house. So now you got that $350 rent split between four people. That's fucking nothing. And then you have a car payment. It's $100 a month back then, plus your $100 a month insurance. Even at $7.25 an hour, $9 an hour, it was affordable. What's rent down here in an apartment? $2,500 a month plus the expensive car? People can't afford to fucking move out when they're kids. Even if they got three roommates at $2,500 a month plus the expensive car payments we're talking about, it's just, it's unaffordable. And so they have no choice but to schlep it at their parents' house until they're 30. It's just insane. Yep. Kids can't drive and young adults can't move out and start their independence because the housing market is insane because all the three big hedge funds own all the goddamn houses and all the fucking apartments and they control the rent. It's just crazy. Everything is insane. Mm-hmm. Insanely expensive.
That's what the Army's for.
But the Army has it. They haven't really adjusted their cost of their pay. I'm sure their people are still making the same $32,000 a year they're making 10 years ago. With the exception of their signing bonuses. I think now what? The Army will let you go from being a lieutenant. Like, I think they just had a big push because they're trying to get their recruitment drives. I think a private can skip, and I think they took, I forget the number of it. I think they're looking like between 4,000 and 8,000 privates sent them to recruiting school, which automatically bumped them up to sergeants. So they got that boost in pay just to make them recruiters. And so I don't know what the average pay for the military personnel is, but shit, even in your all's day, you guys weren't getting fucking rich doing that.
No, I had enough for beer money and that was about it.
Well, that,
I think I was at like $75 a day or something like that.
Well, Mike, you were in the reserves, and so you still, you know, had to maintain a semblance of daily shit. But if you're a single dude without a wife and you're fully enlisted and you're deployed somewhere,
yeah,
you know, that money adds up because you're really not outspending it on shit. So when you come home, you have a little bit of bank until you get an apartment, then it shit gets blown real quick. But yeah, I don't know. It's just, I'm so glad I grew up in the fucking 90s and early 2000s. I could not imagine trying to be a 26-year-old dude trying to make it in today and trying to move out and, you know, do the shit that 20-year-olds do when, you know, you can't even fucking buy a 12-pack of Mountain Dew for less than $10.
It's not easy at my age either.
Yeah. I feel you.
Well, I got married when I was 22, and my buddies all told me, you know, oh, you're throwing your life away. You should be having fun. And I'm like, man, I don't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of.
Oh, and inflation's so high, he can't afford a decent internet today. His phone keeps cutting out. You ever wonder where speaking of what's in your head, you ever wonder where the phrase threshold came from? You know, a threshold is, clearly, right?
Yeah.
Never wonder why we call that a threshold?
Never thought about it.
Weird words. I was watching a video today. A lady was like in a old house from the 1300s in England. And when you walk through the door, it actually, the threshold stuck up like 5 inches, 5 to 6 inches out of the ground. It's basically a big ass 2x4, big old, but it was unstripped lumber back then. Apparently in the Tudor era, before air conditioning and heating, in order to insulate the house, they would put thresh, which was kind of like a grass or a wheat on the floor. But when during the summertime or on windy days, the thresh would get kind of start getting blown from room to room. And so they put these 5-7 inch tall blocks in the doorway to keep the thresh from blowing into the next room. Hence the name threshold. It hold the thresh in that room. And we just, it's just carried over from then since then. So yeah, that's where the phrase came from.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Learn something new every day. Watch this time he gets in. We're just going to kill the podcast, but it's over. Welcome back. He's coming. We'll wait until he shows up. We'll just call it. Well, that'll do, pig.
I do have to pee.
That's all right. I don't think it's going to work. We'll just call it. We want to thank each and every one of you for hanging out with us for another spastic AD equivalent all over the road episode of the What's in Your Head podcast. For myself, Mike, and the aforementioned Morgan Long, who's internet dropping out on him.
Having some technical difficulties.
Yeah, he's new to the game. He'll figure it all out. We want to thank each and every one of you for hanging out with us for this episode of the What's in Your Head podcast. You know, Morgan, you're like, son of a bitch, they killed the show on me before we came back. But it happens. It's funny. When I did the episode of the What's the Scuttlebutt podcast, when we had Wild Bill Garnier's son and granddaughter on there, which if you're in World War II, you know exactly who that is. Our co-host had to work late. And as soon as he came in, he was so excited to meet him, the show ended. He was like, oh. But anyhow, that's going to wrap up this episode. Hopefully next episode I won't have so much ADD and we'll have a more constricted combined list of shit to go over. But we want to thank each and every one of you. Just a reminder, head over to whatsinyourhead.com, click on the Patreon link, sign up and subscribe. I think we're going to give away this print in the first week of April, so you don't want to miss out on that. All you have to do to be registered to win that is head over to patreon.com, look for D410 Media, or simply go to whatsinyourhead.com, click on that link, and sign up and subscribe. All you have to do is be an active member of Patreon to be registered. And while you're at it, head over to youtube.com, look for D410 Media, like and subscribe, watch our videos, and that'll go a long way to support what we do here, and it won't cost you a dime, quarter, nickel, and or penny. For myself, Mike, no use for a last name, and Morgan Long, this is the What's in Your Head podcast, and thank you guys so much.
This has been a Digital 410 production.